at centre and coming in is Loeb. Milodyke centre net. McDonald scores! Matty McDonald!
And over at that Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
And he's stopped by Markstrom from point blank range.
Here goes, put it in the win column!
Yeah!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get this hour going. It is Friday, April 12th, and this hour of Flames Talk is underway. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And it's time to kick off the Eric Francis Hour, which is brought to you, as always, by our friends at Horse Racing Alberta. Live standardbred racing is back Fridays at 2:15 and Saturdays at 12:45 at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Visit thehorses.com. Must be 18 plus. Please play responsibly. And we say hello to Eric Francis from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. Joins us from SoCal on this Friday afternoon. Hello, EF. How we doing?
Happy Masters Friday, my man. I'm assuming you're not glued to it like I am, but you probably got it on in the background wherever you are.
It is indeed over my right shoulder as we speak right now. Of course it is. How are we doing?
Proud.
How's SoCal treating you?
Good. You know, I'm never going to complain about being in California for any reason. And, I'm not sure the Flames games are attracting a lot of interest right now. I don't know. Obviously, I'm immersed in the middle of it. And while they're still playing, it's an everyday thing. But I don't know. Obviously, interest is on the wane as they kind of play out the string. But I still think there are a lot of interesting storylines, obviously, right now. And between now and, I don't know, say the draft, there'll be a ton of them.
Yeah. Yeah, right now is kind of they're playing out the string, right? There's not a whole lot to sink your teeth into when it comes to ready-made storylines. And, you know, it's weird. Last hour, Vickers and I were talking about it just... It kind of really hasn't sunk in yet that there's only four games left to go in the regular season because, you know, we're not used to this. We're not used to them being officially eliminated as early as they were and being unofficially eliminated for weeks before that. It's been a while since they've played at a string quite like this, like probably the Bob Hartley days were the last time that we were talking about this.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, even the years they didn't make the playoffs, oftentimes they're at least close, you know, much closer to the end. But, this is where they're at right now. And, I think everybody knew, certainly us in the media, we had talked about it a lot. I think fans knew. Once the trade deadline was over, unless this team could pull off a miracle, an undermanned team, admittedly, could stay in this race, which not many people thought they could.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people knew that the storylines, the intrigue, the interest would almost overnight disappear. And that's exactly kind of what's happened. I've covered this team 30 years, never had this many storylines in a season. Like, it was fascinating. You had lots to talk about on the radio. Fans had lots to talk about. There was speculation. There was controversy. There was a lot of innuendo. There were anticipation for trades and all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, once all that kind of came to a crashing halt, it's a whole lot quieter for Flames fans in terms of stuff to talk about. So we'll find stuff to come up with, won't we, Patty?
Well, and I give you credit. You're on the road for your final road trip of the year. You're in California right now on this three-gamer, and you've been doing some good work. Why don't we start there? This is an article that's going to come out on Sportsnet.ca Friday night, Saturday morning, depending on when you wake up and when you consume. But you had an opportunity to chat with Mackenzie Weegar on this road trip, and a pretty... From what you tell me, a pretty important chat with Calgary's Mackenzie Weegar, hey?
Yeah, I think that it's only natural for people to wonder what these veterans are thinking in terms of, do they want to be part of a retool, rebuild, youth movement, whatever you want to call it. And I asked Nazem Kadri right after the trade deadline if this is what he signed up for, and he kind of skirted the question. He didn't really want to talk about it. So I'm not really sure where he stands in this whole thing, although I will give him a ton of credit for the way he's conducted himself, played, led, mentored, like, I think he's been phenomenal. So it leads me to believe that he's okay with staying with this program. But we won't find out that until the summer. But I wanted to ask Mackenzie Weegar the same question. And I can tell you, I think his play, his leadership, his mentorship, the way he's conducted himself of late made it very clear what I thought he was going to say. And he absolutely, in my opinion, hit it out of the park. And it's exactly what every Flames fan, what management's going to want to hear, which is, man, okay, I didn't sign up for this when I signed last year for that extension, or was it 2 years ago, or wherever it was. But I'm here for the long haul. Like, I'm fully invested. I love this city. Actually, why don't I read some of his quotes? Because I think that they're very powerful.
Yeah, please do.
I love it. He says, it's easy to ask for a trade, but I grew up not to be a quitter. I want to stay here. I want to win a cup here, and I've said that. I believe in Connie and Husk and Backlund and Naz and everybody here. I think we're not far off. I believe in that, and I want to turn it around. I think it starts with yourself. You've got to take it upon yourself to help the organization, and that's where my head's at. So, you know, I think that's crucial. Like, as this organization looks around at pillars on which to build their franchise, Mackenzie Weegar is now confirming right now with that interview that he wants to be one of those pillars. He's not shying away for it or changing course because things have changed course dramatically on him. He wants to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. He doesn't want to ask for a trade like other people may be contemplating, and we don't know, but we can speculate. But I just think that's huge. In an organization where the narrative has surrounded guys wanting out ever since, you know, I kept saying Johnny was going to leave and Tkachuk was going to leave, and sure enough, they both did. And then this year, of course, Hanifin wanted out. Lindholm didn't want to stay. The list went on. Zadorov didn't want to stay. Toffoli didn't want to stay. Like, it's gutting for Flames fans. It's gutting for Calgarians. It's gutting for management. But here we are. The team's best defenseman, who's having a phenomenal season, wants to be part of this from start to finish. And that, to me, is huge news at a time when there really aren't a whole lot of storylines going on.
Honestly, I think it's massive news. And I'm really glad that you were able to get that with them on the road. I think it's huge. And I think it... I think it does a few things. First of all, I think to your point, I think it cements what a lot of people have probably already known. I mean, the way this guy is playing and the way this guy, even go back to Thursday night in Los Angeles, like, this guy's slashing sticks and going after guys. And like, this guy does not have an off switch. And I think that Francis, he's even taken it to a new level since all this has happened. I think that he has gone out of his way to make it so that, okay, now that all these players have left and now that we're way out of it and now it's clear that we're not going to make the playoffs, I think he's gone out of the way to set the tone even more than he has in the past, because he knows he's relied on it a little bit more. He knows the team needs it a little bit more. And I give him a lot of credit. The way that he has played and the way that he has sold out in games that must feel or must be easy to feel like they're meaningless if you're Mackenzie and you're over the age of 30 and, you know, you won the President's Trophy 2 years ago in Florida and you got traded to Calgary and expected to be a team that was going to be making the playoffs. Like, these games, it must be easy for them to feel meaningless the last 20 games or so. And yet he does not look like they're meaningless at all. And I know that people always say, well, you're a pro, you're getting paid millions, that's your job. I can tell you it's not that easy. And I think what Mackenzie's doing is a really important thing to set a baseline going forward. So I think that's huge that's exactly what we're talking about, that we're talking about a guy who wants to be here. And you know what it reminds me of, Eric? And it didn't come to me until reading those quotes and thinking about it, but it doesn't feel all that much different than, say, about a decade ago when Mark Giordano, at about the same age, was in a very similar situation as Mackenzie is right now. Different. I mean, Gio wasn't traded here, but a guy that basically said, no, you know what? I'm gonna take this thing by the horns, and I'm going to be a part of something and help this team grow. And that kind of Feels like there's a lot of similarities between where Uyghur is right now and where Mark Giordano was just before or right around being named the captain about a decade ago.
I think that's a very interesting comparative because as I write this piece, it occurs to me that you know, I'm talking to the future captain here. There's very little doubt in my mind. Hey, Backlund's been a phenomenal captain. He's here for at least another 2 years, if not longer. He'll have the C on his chest until he is no longer a Flame. But, you know, you look at a guy like Uyghur, who signed that 8-year extension. He's in for the long haul. I mean, you tell me who else he's competing with right now in terms of the future captainship of this team. And I talked to the coach about, you know, I said, it really seems like he stepped up over the last little while in terms of wanting to come out and lay it on the line for the media, in terms of talking to his teammates, in terms of the way he's played. He said, absolutely. I've seen it too. He's really stepped up with his leadership and he wants this. And every team needs more guys to do that, to take ownership in a bigger way. Right now he rotates the A on his jersey. That will unquestionably be made permanent for the start of next season. I can tell you that is for sure.
Yeah.
So, but it's good news for Flames fans. But and he spoke to that too. I asked him. He said, "Listen, with these young guys, the new guys, I'm taking upon myself," he said, "to make them feel as comfortable and show them how hard it is to play in this league and help them out." And I'm kind of reading some of his quotes right now. He said, "I wanted to make a conscious effort to step up in this role. There's only one way to play. And for the rest of the year, we need to show people that there's a standard." And I think he went further. It was interesting to me. He said, not only is it about showing the young guys here, like Connor Zeri and Coronado, a couple of the D-men that he named, show them how to play the game and to give it, you know, that there's a standard in terms of your effort every night. But he said, listen, it's not just for us. It's also to show guys who are going to get traded here maybe in the summer, or UFAs that would potentially sign here. I want to show them that this is a place where there is a standard and there's a way that we're going to play moving forward, and hopefully that those guys want to stay or come to Calgary. And I thought that was a very interesting point too. I mean, he's thinking that far ahead and he wants to be that involved with the future shape of this organization that he's worried about showing everyone around the league that there's a standard to be set here. So, you know, it's going to take a lot of work to do that. But as he said, you have to make the decision that you're going to be part of the solution. And that's the best thing you can do for the organization. And that's what he's doing. So, he has emerged as the team's top defenseman. And the numbers, you know, are pretty impressive. And I'll throw this back at you, too. But, like, is this not exactly kind of what you expected from him when they made the trade? I know that Huberto's fallen short of what people had hoped he would be in a lot of ways, but this is what I expected from Uyghur, for him to be their best defenseman and to be a leader. I think it's almost just a cherry on top that he's actually bleeding Flames right now moving forward.
Yeah, I didn't know enough about how much this guy leaves it on the ice. Like, you know, he plays in the Eastern Conference. He played in Halifax. Like, you knew about him, and you knew that he played with Ekblad, and you knew that he could play the left and the right side and all that type of stuff. But until you see, it was very similar to Chris Tanev. You know, I just remember Labardius talking about the Flames signing Tanev and how much of a culture setter he was going to be. And I'd always appreciated Tanev's game, and I'd always been like, yeah, it's a really good defenseman, but you don't see him game in, game out the same way you would if you were in Vancouver. Then he comes here, and you do. You see him game in, game out. You're like, holy crap. No wonder this guy was being called a culture center. No wonder there's such a cult-like following from teammates with this guy around the league. And so it was very similar to Uyghur. And you know, this year especially, it's become really apparent. That's why I keep going back to the Giordano comparisons, because they go about their business in such very similar ways. They leave everything on the ice. They are guys who are flourishing over the age of 30. And I look at the way that he plays. Like there really is on any given shift, no quitting this guy, and he's always running at a 10 out of 10. And so I think I didn't give enough credit to that part of what McKenzie is prior to him getting here. But yeah, certainly everybody talked about how strong a defenseman this guy is, how maybe overshadowed he was in Florida, and that he's really got an opportunity to break out on a new team. And I think we're seeing that. He absolutely has turned into this team's top defenseman. And this is not a knock on Miramanov, but don't discredit how important Uyghur's been for Miramanov being able to play kind of top pairing minutes on this team since the trade deadline. I think Uyghur has done an absolute world of difference for that guy as well.
And again, I'll pick up on that because you had mentioned Chris Tanev, and McKenzie went out of his way to point out that when Tanev was here, he said, look, Tanev could have been a captain on a lot of other teams he played on. He said, I took notes every day when I was with this guy, especially near the end when I knew we were losing him. Like, this guy is, he says, I'm a little more vocal than Chris Tanev, but I wanted to learn about what it's like to set standards and be a guy people looked up to and leave it all on the ice. And, you know, the whole block shot thing, look, he's about to be, you know, if he gets one more goal, then I think it's a no-brainer that he'll be the first guy ever in the NHL's history amongst defensemen to have 20 goals in the same season as he has 200 block shots. That's a pretty, it's a very unique combination. It's a club no one ever talks about because it's not existed before, but it does speak to the fact that he's playing at both ends. And the shot blocking, I'm not sure we talked about with Uyghur like last year, but right now we do talk about it with him. And I think that's part of his give a crap meter being upped, you know, by a whole bunch of degrees. The guy's just really doing it at both ends. So kudos to him, and kudos for looking at a guy like Tanev and saying, I want to be more like that guy and actually executing on it.
So it brings up a really interesting conversation then. You mentioned Kadri in the conversation you had with him just over a month ago. We're talking about your chat with McKenzie Uyghur, which, again, the entire conversation will drop on sportsnet.ca following the Flames and Ducks on Friday night. So who else do we see as part of this thing for the long haul, Eric? I mean, when we're talking about this team going forward, and you and I both believe that fall of 2027 is when this team hopes to be back at a spot where they can be in the playoffs, back at a spot where they can be a whole lot closer to contending. So that's a little more than 3 years from now. So who else do we see as being a part of this for the long haul? Uyghur, of course, there's a really important one to say, yes, I'm a part of this. I think that there's no doubt that Huberto is going to be a part of that just based on the contract alone. But, like, where does Nazem Kadri stand in all of this? Where does Rasmus Anderson stand in all of this? Michael Backlund's got two more years in his contract. Where does he factor in? What about Blake Coleman? I'm curious what some of these veterans or how some of these veterans factor into the long-term plan for the Flames as they undertake this change of direction.
Well, it's, you know, the question of the summer, right? And I would put at the top of that list Jacob Markstrom.
And Marks, absolutely. Marky as well.
Yeah. It's funny that you didn't mention it because we all know, like, that's probably the biggest storyline of the summer coming ahead here. Will he stay or will he go now, you know? But Nazem Kadri, like I said, I think the way he's conducted himself tells me that he's a total pro and is willing to just gut this out. But the fact that he didn't really want to talk, like, he didn't really answer my questions, and he kind of dodged it, when I think those questions are, in a lot of ways, on a golden tee for guys to hit it out of the park and say, yeah, I'm absolutely on board, 100%. And then if he asks for a trade this summer, that's fine. You still got to say the right things while you're a Flame. So I don't know what Nazem Kadri is thinking. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Jonathan Huberto is here for the long haul for obvious reasons. Funny, I had an interesting conversation with Alan Walsh yesterday. He's his agent, and Alan.
No, I've never heard that Alan Walsh is his agent. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Well, he likes to lay in the weeds and not really say or do much or tweet much. But yeah, I saw Alan down at the rink last night, and he was there chatting with Huberto, and had a good talk with him too. But anyway, he's not going anywhere. Like, even if you wanted to, he's not going anywhere. We know that. You know, I don't think anyone in the world would think that Blake Coleman's the kind of guy who would say, I want out. I mean, he chose Calgary as a free agent. Yes, he chose it at a time when he thought he was kind of helping them get over the hump as a winning team. But I just think the way he conducts himself every day, this guy's the consummate pro. The last thing he'd ever do is ask for a trade. You know, because also, is he going to ask for a trade and say, look, the window's short and I just want to win a cup? And he's already won twice. Not to say he doesn't want to win more. I can't see him pulling that. Do you? Could you see Coleman? There's no way he's out.
I don't think so. I mean, he talked so much about how he really, like, he and his wife were so thoughtful about this decision and how they chose Calgary because it reminded him of Texas and reminded him of where he was from and an opportunity for him to lay down roots and raise a family. And I can't see it either. And I think that's a huge thing for him, too, because much like Uyghur, I think Blake is the perfect guy to have to help bring this team along. And honestly, due to the lack of wear and tear he's had on his body, just based on him getting to the NHL a little bit later, I still think we're talking about a guy that probably you could make a good argument for getting another contract in Calgary if he wanted to. So I think he's a guy that looks like a part of the solution and a part of the long term. I'm with you. I don't think he's the type of guy who decides to or tries to force himself elsewhere.
Yeah, he's here. He's a pillar. Coleman's a pillar. You know, the captain's a pillar. You know, we don't know about Kadri. Huberto's part of the leadership group and is a pillar here. He's obviously not the impact player that he has been. And we can talk more about what they're going to do about that this summer, because I do think there's a plan, and I'm happy to talk about that maybe next week. But I think that, you know, another pillar you're going to see is I think Shillington's going to sign here over the next little while. And I think, you know, a very interesting one is Rasmus Anderson. He's always struck me as a guy who's loyal. But I can't really quite get a read on him. I pulled him aside the other day to talk to him about this. And he basically said, like, I don't really want to talk about year-end stuff until the end of the year. And that's fair. That's totally fair. But he's an interesting one. I don't see him as the guy who would ask for a trade, but we'll see. What he kind of keeps his cards close to his chest, so I'm not really sure where he stands. He does seem like a pretty loyal guy to me, though. So those are kind of the ones that we talk about and we'll wonder about over the next while. And then of course Markstrom tops that entire list.
Yeah, and Raz is interesting. He's also got 2 years left on his contract now. Like, we're not. Mm-hmm. The 6 year deal sure has got towards the end pretty quickly with yeah. Raz. That's an interesting one, Francis. Because I mean, all the guys, he's the one guy coming up that has a chance to really hit it big in free agency. And you know, he's a couple years away now, and he'll be under 30 when he gets there. I wonder how this whole thing plays out with Raz. Does he want to be here long term? Is this where I'm with you. I've always got the feeling that, you know what, Calgary's the team that drafted me, gave me this opportunity. I've come up with this organization. I want to stay with them. And I still think there's a chance that that's what he's thinking right now. But you're right. When it comes to these types of things, he plays it really close to the vest, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a fair response for him to say. I mean, we had a chat about a bunch of stuff, but we didn't talk. He didn't want to talk about, you know, kind of my lead-in question was, has this been the toughest year of your career? You know, I'm sure what he would say. And he said, no, I wouldn't say that, not at all. So that's probably a good sign that he's not wearing this and saying this was the worst year or the toughest year. But, you know, two more years left on his deal. Listen, I would assume he's not going to be the guy who says, I want to trade this summer. Like, I just don't see that being part of it. But the question is he interested in signing long-term after next year? Well, by then, theoretically, he will have seen several of his closest Swedish Mafia buddies leave, right? By then, surely Markstrom's not here, or I would think Markstrom is not here by next summer, or I don't know. I guess I shouldn't make that assumption. And also Lindholm's gone. And I think it's going to be pretty clear this summer that Lindholm wanting out of Calgary is going to cost him tens of millions of dollars. Tens of millions of dollars, right? From what the Calgary Flames are willing to pay him to what he's going to get on the open market. You know, I think we're talking in the neighborhood of $25 million it's going to cost him because his stock has literally plummeted. Injury is part of that. But at the end of the day, whatever, had he stayed here, the grass, he didn't see the grass as being greener here, but I think in hindsight, he'll realize it probably would have been.
Well, so it definitely greener when you think about how much money he left on the table, right? Like if they were in the, like what's a realistic number for him in free agency over 7 years? And they were somewhere in the, I don't think it ever got to nine in terms of what was really on the table, but somewhere in the eight and a half range. I think, you know, the Mark Scheifele deal in Winnipeg is one that I think might have been in the ballpark for what they were looking at for Lindholm. So eight and a half. So that's $64 to $68 million. Like, there's no way he's touching that, even the AAV, let alone the extra year. So yeah, him not signing in Calgary, $25 million isn't a stretch at all, Francis.
No, like I was talking to an agent the other day, and that's the number he threw at me. And I don't, you know, I don't know if it'll be that much, but it could be. It's going to be tens of millions. Okay, so again, we can go through the history of all these guys who've wanted out, and it's a sad, long list for Flames fans. A really painful list to go through. But Johnny Gaudreau did not make the right decision. Matthew Tkachuk did make the right decision. Elias Lindholm did not make the right decision. Is Markstrom going to make the right decision? You know, what sort of decision might Anderson make in a year from now? You know, it's interesting. And this is what we spend so many hours talking about on this show and in print. It's fascinating to speculate on what these guys are going to do because they see what's happening around them. They talk to these guys and realize, you know, who made a mistake and who didn't. And these guys, at the end of the day, they got to do what's best for them, but they take all that information into account.
Yeah. I don't know why you say Johnny Gaudreau made a mistake. I don't know what you're talking about. Columbus looks like they're currently knocking on the door to be a powerhouse.
Well, okay.
I'm being fully sarcastic.
I know you're being completely facetious, but I mean, are the Columbus Blue Jackets that much further behind the Calgary Flames at this point in time? Now, I would argue if Johnny would have stayed, I don't think the Flames would be in this situation. But that, you know, we could go in circles on that. I'm the first one to tell you that he made a massive mistake. There's no question about it. But, you know, now that things have evolved or devolved here in Calgary, you start to go, well, I don't know, who's going to get out of this tailspin quicker? I don't know. You know, he is closer to home. I don't know. I'm being facetious too to a degree, but it's not as cut and dried as it once was.
No, but I hate doing it, but every time we talk about it, anytime me and Wes or me and you or me and Vix talk about Johnny and him, like, where could things have been if that one last minute decision didn't happen? Like if he, when they said we've got a deal, we'll call you back in 10 minutes. And then it went the other way, which is literally how close it was. They were ready to sign, and then 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, then it went the other direction. If it didn't go in that direction, you know, would Tkachuk have signed another 3 or 4 year deal? Maybe, maybe not. Obviously, a lot of what happens, a lot of the things that have happened since wouldn't have happened. Obviously, the Tkachuk trade might have happened differently if he still wanted out. Just would have been so much different here, I think, had Johnny decided to stay.
Totally agree, but I will just say that Tkachuk was gone no matter what.
I think so too.
Easy to say, for sure. And you could, it's fair to wonder that because I've had a lot of people ask me that. But just having dealt with both those guys and their agents and all those situations quite close, that I can tell you that Tkachuk was destined to leave the Calgary Flames a lot earlier than Johnny Gaudreau ever was. There was a plan in place, and it wasn't to stay in Calgary, and that That's fair. That's fine. Whatever. It's worked out pretty well for Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah, he seems like he's doing all right, eh? All right. Well, it's Steinberg and Francis. The Eric Francis Hour is underway on this Friday. Eric's with us from SoCal. And the Eric Francis Hour brought to you each and every week by our friends at Horse Racing Alberta. And how about this? And it actually feels like it's legit now. Standardbred racing is back. Fridays at 2:15 and Saturdays at 12:45 at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Last week when I read that, there was snow on the ground. This week, it's gorgeous. And get yourself out to Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Again, Friday 2:15, Saturday 12:45. Live standardbred racing is back. Go check them out at thehorses.com. Must be 18 plus. Please play responsibly.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, this Friday's edition of the Eric Francis Hour rolls on. Steinberg and Eric Francis on this April 12th. Eric with us from SoCal, where Thursday night, Andre Kuzmenko's point streak came to an end. He had a six-game point streak, career-high six-game point streak heading into the 4-1 loss against LA. Snapped against the Kings, but Francis, that's still 11 points in the last seven games for Andre Kuzmenko, who all of a sudden looks like a completely different player. You get past a back injury that was plaguing him and was messing with his mobility for a few weeks and a lingering illness that was messing with him. You put him on Nazem Kadri's line, and all of a sudden this guy looks a whole lot more like that 39-goal scorer from Vancouver than the enigmatic, inconsistent guy that we had seen for the first two months or so as a member of the Calgary Flames. What have your observations been of Andre Kuzmenko since the St. Louis game where he was put on Kadri's line that night? It seems like it's been a completely different player ever since.
Well, again, give Kadri credit, right? He's helped create an NHLer in Connor Zary from the start. You know, he helped Zary prove that he deserves to stay in the NHL. Same with Martin Pospisil. I mean, those are, you know, he took both those guys under his wing to a degree. And now it's a similar sort of result for Kuzmenko. You know, the power play's had a lot to do with this. I don't know, of the 11 points, how many Kuzmenko's got on the power play. I bet it's a large percentage of it. But either way, he's helped, you know, those two guys together have helped turn around that power play, which has been atrocious all year long. And now over the last, six, seven games, I think I saw a stat the other day, I think it's number one in the NHL over the last seven games. I mean, big deal. But the point is, he's a 39-goal scorer, which I keep saying to everybody. Like, it should never be surprising if he starts having success. I think the thing that he came with was a reputation as a guy who's inconsistent mm-hmm. and also not as engaged. You know, that was the word that I had heard that Rick Tocchet used a lot, engaged in games, but also engaged along the wall, engaged defensively, all these different things. But, hey, he's been so much better lately, and this is a glimpse of what he could be. And, you know, I don't know what his future holds for the Calgary Flames. That'll be a fascinating storyline for next year. If he piles up a bunch of points, does it mean they want to sign him? Well, if he piles up a bunch of points, does that mean that he's even bigger trade bait? Because he's not going to be one of your core guys moving forward. Mm-hmm. There's so much to it. But at the end of the day, I'll just keep repeating to everyone, listen, he's a 39-goal scorer. If you put him in the right scenario, he can be one of the better goal scorers in the National Hockey League. Like, we see the sick mitts he has, but the NHL is littered with guys with sick mitts who didn't have the work ethic or the head smarts. He clearly had all that going for him last year as a 39-goal scorer. I keep meaning to delve more into, maybe you have, when he got his 39 goals last year, was he playing with Patterson?
Yes, spent the whole season on power play one and with Elias Patterson at 5-on-5. Like, if you go take a look at who he played most with, last year, it's Elias Pettersson way up here, and then everybody's like a 400-minute drop to the next guy that he played with. So, yeah, he was with Pettersson basically all year last year.
Well, there you go. So, Flames don't have a Pettersson or anyone close to a Pettersson. So,
But their best guy, their best guy is Kadri, and I'm not suggesting mm-hmm. that Kadri's going to be a 100 point guy, but Kadri's a skilled center who likes to hold the puck. Kuzmenko's a guy who likes to shoot it and likes to distribute. I think that's a really interesting combo for him going forward.
100%, and we've seen it. And Kadri's been the fixer this year for so many guys. And so the fact that those guys are working well together is obviously great news for the Flames. And, it's one of the few bright spots over the last couple weeks because, they've lost now 8 of 10 or 9 of 11. I'm losing track now. Two wins in a long stretch. And I get it's not necessarily about wins right now. As a matter of fact, you want losses. Most people would say that out loud. Mm-hmm. You want solid efforts with an L at the end of the night. And I think for the most part, that's exactly what you're getting. Don't you think that most of their efforts have been pretty darn good? They're just falling a little bit short, which is exactly what you want them to do right now.
They have been, and they've been competing, and that's been a big non-negotiable for them for sure. And it's 9 of 11, by the way, that they've lost now after the Kings lost. So they lost 5-1-1, lost 3-1-1, then lost Thursday night in Los Angeles. I wonder on the – because I've seen it a lot of times, even from Canucks fans who listen that have said, what you're seeing from Kuzmenko is kind of what he is. When things are a little less difficult, when the pressure's off, this guy is really, really good. Not as convinced that when you're a better team or a team that is fighting for playoff spots or playing in really tough games that he's going to be that type of guy. But I just wonder, what if Kuzmenko can be a 30-goal guy next year and then all of a sudden – the guy that you got is a throw-in cap dump that Vancouver just needed to offload so they could bring Lindholm's salary in. What if that turns into something for you, too? Then you take a trade that already looks like a win for the Flames, and it gets that much better. Maybe he's a long-term fit for you, or maybe he's a guy that at next year's trade deadline they say, we can get a nice return for him, and you get extra assets. It turns the Lindholm trade and makes it look even better if that happens.
Yeah. What was that? That was a five for one return. But I remember thinking even the day it happened that could end up being seven-person return, potentially if he's someone that you flip next year at the deadline. It'll all revolve around how good he plays next year. If he plays really well, then you've got more options and you could expand that trade and make it even an even bigger windfall. But either way, I'm not surprised he's having some success, and I'm not surprised it's coming in spurts. That was the book on this guy from the start.
Yeah. And you're right.
And he's exciting. He's an exciting player. I've heard a couple of people, even inside the organization, say, "Who are people going to pay to watch moving forward?" And no disrespect to some of the guys who look like they're going to be pillars moving forward, like Connor Zary and Martin Pospisil and whoever else you want to put on that list. But Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk were those guys. Lindholm wasn't, but those are guys that would get you out of your seat for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and that's a talk we can have down the road, but who's a guy who people are going to pay to come watch next year? Right now, everyone's paying to come, and for the next little while, they're going to pay to see the youngsters and see what, glimpses of future greatness there may be. But who? You tell me, is there anyone that tops the list as the most exciting? I've said many times on the broadcast, I think Martin Pospisil is the most exciting player on the roster right now because every time he's out there, he might just blow somebody up, and that's exciting. But is there anybody skill-wise that could even be on that list?
Right now, no. Zary can be fun to watch, but I don't think that...
For sure.
No, right now there's not. There's not that Johnny Gaudreau guy. There's not that player that you're wondering what they could do on any given shift. And honestly, with Johnny, that was... From his very first preseason game, we were like, holy cow, this guy is going to be exciting. And obviously it translated to a great career as a member of the Flames and almost a decade with the team. Right now there is nobody. And I don't know if there's anybody even in waiting right now that you can say, well, watch out. That's going to be the next guy that is really going to bring you out of your seat. Brustevich seems like a really exciting player, but I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's Zeri. I agree with you on Pospisil. He is as entertaining as anybody to watch right now. But in terms of the straight-up skill, I don't know if the organization has anybody quite like that, which makes this, you know, these next two or three drafts that much more important and that much more fascinating for the Flames.
100%. 100%. But I think if you had to come up with a list and say, skill wise, who could really, you know, excite you or, you know, electrify a crowd, I do think I would put Kuzmenko at the top of that list as potential, right? Because I just think he's got just mad skills, and it's just a question of, you know, whether or not the effort and the give a crap and consistency is all there.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're obviously missing that, and it could take years to find that guy. But that's what makes those other guys so special. You know, Johnny Gaudreau, every time he came up the ice, you know, he was so creative. You never knew what he was going to do next. And it could potentially be, you know, amazing to watch. Kadri's had a really good year this year, and I give him endless credit for the way he's persevered through all this. But he's not that same player, and neither is Zeri or any of the other guys we talked about.
No. Well, I mentioned the draft. Let's finish there, Eric. And by the way, congratulations to Nazem Kadri. He'll become the 12th player from his draft class to play in 900 games on Friday night when the Flames take on the Anaheim Ducks. But let's finish with the draft, because you're gonna have this on the telecast on Friday night for the Flames and Ducks. Just kind of a cheat sheet in terms of what to watch and what Flames fans should maybe be looking for and hoping for between now and the end of the regular season when it comes to maximizing or optimizing their draft picks and where everything could fall come the 2024 draft and beyond.
Yeah, it's funny. People almost need, like, I almost want to say, grab a piece of paper and write this down. But it's just because so many of the trades that the Calgary Flames made came with significant conditions. Conditional picks all over the place, and people are like, well, who am I supposed to cheer for? So in a nutshell, you want Vegas to win one round so that a third round of the Calgary Flames have next year from Vegas turns into a second rounder. You want Vancouver in the conference final so that a fourth round pick turns into a third round pick this year. And you want Dallas to go to the cup final to get a brand new pick, a third rounder in 2026. Otherwise, if they don't get to the final, there's no third rounder anywhere. So there it is. Vegas wins one round. Vancouver gets to the conference final, and Dallas goes to the cup final. And I think all of it's possible, right? It depends on who's playing who. But as I look at the potential matchups and everything, all three of those could come true. Am I wrong?
You are. Now, right now, we don't like how it shapes up right now, because right now Vegas and Dallas would be playing in round one. So you need Vegas to get into the number three seed in the Pacific, which isn't out of the question, because that could or catch Nashville. One of the two. They've got a game in hand on both LA and Nashville, 3 points behind both of them. So if Vegas gets themselves out of the number two wild card, then it's all in play. And I guess if they get to the number one wild card, then they're playing Vancouver. So I guess if you need Vegas to be number three in the Pacific, so they need to track down LA, and if that happens, then it's all in play, and all three of those things could theoretically happen. You could have Vegas beat Edmonton in round one. You could have Dallas advance. You could have Vancouver advance. Then you could have the Canucks and Stars meet in the Western Conference Final, and then the Stars win. So if Vegas gets themselves into that three seed, theoretically, all of it could happen.
And the other thing is, there was a lot of questions for those people who follow the team really closely. You know, the Calgary Flames have two first-round picks this year, but the one that they owned originally, there was some debate over whether or not Montreal would snag it as part of the Sean Monahan trade conditions. But looking at that very complicated, long and winding conditional list, that's now a cinch. The Calgary Flames will draft in the top 10 this season, it looks like. And Montreal can't touch that pick. Montreal will get it next year instead. So it doesn't mean they get an extra pick or anything like that, but it is exciting for Flames fans to know that they will be drafting in the top 10 this year. And that opens up a debate for a conversation that I guarantee you, I'm going to predict this right now. It opens up the debate that we're going to have for the next 2.5 months over whether or not the Calgary Flames will or should draft Tiege Ginla.
Who?
I've
never heard that. That has not been brought up once on the postgame show over the last 3 weeks. Francis, it is like people are losing their minds over this one. I think that is going to be outside of Markstrom. I think Calgary and Tiege Ginla and whether or not they draft him or not, I think that'll be the biggest talking point between now and the draft in Vegas.
Totally agree. I 100% agree. And with that in mind, I had a long chat today with Sam Cosentino, our draft expert at Sportsnet, about Tiege and where he sits. And he's having a hell of a playoff right now. And Calgary Flames are watching very closely, and as is every team in the National Hockey League. So that's nothing new, but fascinating story, fascinating debate. And you want to look at how excited people are about a former Hall of Famer's son playing on the same organization. Look no further than Utah, I guess we're supposed to say. Look no further than Arizona, where Josh Doan has been all the rage since he made his NHL debut, and people are going bananas over this guy. And it's a great story, and it sells tickets. A little too late for Phoenix, but it sells tickets and gets people jacked up. And guess what? That's what the business is all about, selling tickets and getting people excited. And having Tiege Ginla in Calgary would be one of the greatest things this organization could do moving forward. I'm not even convinced, though, that the Calgary Flames are going to be drafting high enough. This kid's stock keeps rising to the point where he may go before the Flames pick. Anyway, we'll talk about that lot.
Yep. Yeah, we'll have lots, but I've seen him as high as, like, top three in some draft mocks. So we'll see how it plays out, pal. We got to wrap for now. Enjoy your last couple days in Cali. We'll see you back here for Sunday's game against Arizona. Great Eric Francis Hour, as always, my friend. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk. We'll see you on the weekend.
Absolutely. Eric Francis from California. The Eric Francis Hour wraps up. You can get Eric on Twitter at Eric Francis. And the Eric Francis Hour is brought to you, as always, by Horse Racing Alberta. Live standard bred racing is back Fridays at 2:15 and Saturdays at 12:45 at Century Downs Racetrack and Casino. Visit thehorses.com. Must be 18+. Please play responsibly.